What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, July 5th, 2023, middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Powhana Friday. It is, of course, the day after Independence Day, a holiday that we celebrate because back in the 1700s, men and women who owned firearms decided they were going to shoot the tax collectors and tyrants of the day and gained our independence. And it's kind of amazing to see all these anti-gun liberals out there celebrating. And actually, a lot of them weren't. Some of them were saying some very hateful things about the country. You know, Cori Bush tried to use Independence Day to push for reparations. And, of course, Joe Biden was out there saying, we have to ban guns. And you know, just really kind of clueless about what Independence Day means. And around here, being a conservative area, a lot of flags are up, a lot of fireworks. The fireworks were going on Monday night and all last night. And as a matter of fact, we actually got an air quality alert saying, you know, be careful. There's a lot of the remnant smoke and everything in the air. It's causing people irritation and coughing and so forth and so on. So basically over at Associated Press, they came out with an article yesterday explaining why the word patriot has become problematic in recent years. They don't want people using that word anymore. They want to put a negative connotation on there rather than the positive one that we've all grown up to know and love, as it were. Meanwhile, over at Ben and Jerry's, they put out an Independence Day political message. It's already drawn a strong reaction. The message was, this 4th of July, it's high time we recognize that the U.S. exists on stolen indigenous land and commit to returning it. And, of course, this triggered a huge backlash. And a lot of people are saying, you know, it might be a boycott. They could be the new Bud Light here. And the post included a link to the Ben and Jerry's website urging the U.S. to return Mount Rushmore to the Lakota Sioux Indian tribe. It explains the land was originally theirs based on a previous treaty with the U.S. Okay, or maybe they want to hand it over to Britain and then hand it over to Spain, who then hands it over to the indigenous people before them, who then hand it over to the indigenous people they stole the land from in the first place. So maybe the indigenous should get reparations too. So anyway, this calls for boycott. They may be the new Bud Light here. Okay, and apparently on Sunday evening, the Secret Service found a package of white powder inside the White House. It triggered a brief evacuation. Tests showed it was high-quality cocaine. I wonder where that might have come from. And the story is changing because the original recording of the dispatch call said the cocaine was found in the library, which is on the first floor of the main building. And then they said it's a work area out in the West Wing. And now they're saying it's basically the area where people would leave their cell phones on entering the White House. So everyone's out there saying, gee, I wonder. And, of course, Hunter Biden was, you know, in the White House on Friday to head to Camp David with his father for the long holiday weekend. And so, yeah, I think we can take a good guess, you know, who was doing the cocaine. Actually, at one point, they were trying to suggest that the White House staffers, you know, were doing the cocaine and, you know, take the blame, take the focus off of Hunter. Anyway, and apparently Joe Biden was asked about the cocaine found in the White House and simply refused to answer the question, which he does a lot more. Now, at a very public 4th of July celebration, Joe Biden started wandering around on the stage like he was looking for somebody who wasn't there. And he walked away from the backdrop that said 4th of July over to some other backdrops for other holidays. They've just got them all lined up there. And, yeah, it just underscores the fact that, you know, he's a few French fries short of a Happy Meal. Donald Trump is mocking Biden saying we have a very dangerous idiot in the White House, and this is following Biden saying that Putin is losing the war in Iraq twice. And Trump is saying we cannot have this go on, especially looking at the possibility of a serious war with Russia, which we're going to talk about a little further in the show. There may be a development there. Now, states are starting to reject Joe Biden's plan to change the Democratic primary schedule. Even Democratic leaders are objecting and saying, no, let's not mess with it here. Now, Biden wants South Carolina to vote first because that's the state that saved his candidacy in 2020. And, of course, he's irritating the other states that normally would have voted ahead of South Carolina and saying, You know, we might not even let you on the ballot here. Now, Donald Trump had a huge, huge rally on Saturday, and this was in South Carolina. And Senator Lindsey Graham showed up to do a speech, and he was just booed spectacularly. He had to leave 6 minutes into his speech. And one CNN commentator called it far worse than I ever personally witnessed. It was a bloodbath. Well, there's a lot of reasons that Lindsey Graham is not well-liked right now. Partly it's his on-again, off-again support for Donald Trump. He was against him before he supported his 2016 campaign. Graham was a short-lived 2016 contender himself. He's been critical of Trump's taking of classified documents while defending him on other charges and accusations. But the latest one right now is that Lindsey Graham is over in Congress lobbying for a measure that would say an attack on Ukraine's Zaporizhia nuclear power plant would invoke Article 5 of the NATO treaty. That's a very dangerous situation that he's talking about. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. So Gavin Newsom made a stop during his recent visit to the conservative state of Idaho. And he basically insisted that he's not considering running next year. But he took the opportunity to celebrate a local bookstore that claims to sell banned books. And Newsom said book bans are at a record high. There have been over 1,200 challenges in the last year, nearly double the total from 2021. And Newsom was seen browsing through the store and was captured on camera with a bumper sticker that said, "Stick it to the ban." Okay, now we just finally ended Pride Month, and I think we're probably most of us are happy to see it go. We just really got tired of having our noses rubbed in all of that stuff. But Congress is now saying that the government needs to know how much taxpayer money was spent promoting these pro-LGBT pride projects, because they're saying that's not really, you know, something that's appropriate to be spending taxpayer dollars on, when you consider the tiny percentage of the population that actually is LGBTQ. So they want a full accounting of that. And frankly, they're saying there shouldn't have been any government money for LGBTQ anything whatsoever. Okay, on Monday night, there was a mass shooting in Philadelphia, and five people were killed. And the media jumped on the story and hoping the shooter was a white guy. In fact, there was an initial report saying, you know, likely white supremacist. turned out to be a 40-year-old black transgender named Kimbrady Watson Carricker, Black Lives Matter supporter, and is a biological man who's transgender woman, wears women's clothes. And on his Facebook page, Carricker posted two pictures of him wearing a bra, a woman's top, and earrings with his hair braided long in March, okay? So now that the shooter is outed as a black person, the media has dropped the story completely. No, it doesn't work with the narrative that black people are good and white people are evil, white supremacists, and so forth. All righty, getting on back to the Jeff Epstein situation. Sarah Ransom, one of Jeffrey Epstein's victims, is claiming in a newly released deposition that Epstein made sex tapes of his wealthy friends and associates as they were dallying with underage partners, which is no big surprise. The whole thing looked from the beginning like it was a giant honey trap operation. And Sarah is claiming not only has she seen the tapes, she made copies herself. Now, Ransom's deposition is part of a lawsuit against Ghislaine Maxwell filed by Virginia Guifrey, another of Epstein's victims. In it, she claims to have seen video footage of two of Epstein's associates engaged in sex acts with a female victim. Now, obviously, those tapes represent potential blackmail. Anybody who's got copies of those tapes can be blackmailing the powerful people in them. And it's important to out those people, not to get revenge, not to get punishment, but basically to regain control of our country. Because right now, whoever's got all those Epstein videotapes, they're calling the shots for a lot of what's going on in this country. And that would really explain a lot of the craziness we've seen coming out of government lately. All righty. Now, over this last holiday weekend, we had a couple of movies released here. And Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny earned just $60 million in the U.S. box office over the weekend. It's a terrible, terrible showing. They apparently spent almost $300 million on the film, plus you need 2.5 times that for reproduction, distribution, advertising, and so forth. So it is looking like it's going to be a major, major failure for the studio that produced it. Meanwhile, The Sound of Freedom, starring Jim Caviezel, in a fact-based tale of child trafficking, it basically hit $20 million, and it didn't have to spend that much making it, but it's a $20 million debut, and people want to see this, okay? And it looks like it's going to be a hit. I mean, it hasn't even officially opened yet. Yes, it did open on the 4th, but, I mean, they made most of the money in pre-screening ticket sales. People were buying the tickets ahead of time. And it's turning into a phenomenon, and I'm sure that all the people involved in child sex trafficking are going to be very unhappy that we're not all rushing to view Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. All righty. Now, the federal court has now enjoined Biden, big tech, collusive, far-reaching, and widespread censorship campaign against conservatives. And there was a lawsuit brought by Missouri and Louisiana against the Biden administration regarding collusion with big tech platforms to silence mostly conservative voices. And the federal court, the federal district court has issued a preliminary injunction prohibiting further collusion. It's a 155-page decision. Most of it consists of extensive findings of fact and evidence of the collusion. The case is about the free speech clause in the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Now, the explosion of social media platforms has resulted in unique free speech issues, especially in light of the COVID-19 pandemics. If the allegations made by plaintiffs are true, the present case arguably involves the most massive attack against free speech in U.S. history. In their attempts to suppress alleged disinformation, the federal government, and particularly the defendants, are alleged to have blatantly ignored the First Amendment's right to freedom of speech. So, yeah, it was going on. We all saw it was going on. Now, there is an article that came out of joehoff.com, and it's talking about a shocking analysis of election night reporting and the companies that manufacture, specific term, election results, and the number of Americans who believe Biden did not legitimately win the 2020 election has now grown to 62%, with another 6% who say they don't know if he won or not. They can't make up their mind. But there is a huge mountain of evidence, including whistleblower testimony, expert analysis, or proven machine vulnerabilities that has awakened a huge majority of American voters to the realization that our elections are largely rigged. And, you know, that basically means we're in a situation of taxation without representation because we are not getting the leaders we are voting for. Now, federal and state prosecutors are now targeting Trump's election lawyer, John Eastman, for his role in saying that the 2020 election was rigged. I mean, they're really coming down hard. They don't want anybody even thinking that the elections are fraudulent, because if the American people do realize the elections are rigged, then the whole system starts to come apart. It's going to unravel. The contract with America, that Constitution, is broken. And, we're being scammed by the government in so many different areas. Okay, let's talk about COVID here. There's an article out of Blacklisted News. There's a new research paper that's come on out confirming that the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines are, in fact, gene therapy products that can alter your DNA. Now, as I mentioned before, RNA is a very unstable molecule. And over time, it can mutate into different forms, which would change the protein expression when it enters the cell. And one possible side effect of that is that your immune system may no longer recognize cells in your body as being part of your body, because of the difference in the DNA, and that may be one of the causes for the adverse events that we are seeing in the use of the vaccines. Okay, let's see. An undercover journalist obtained all the death certificates from Minnesota dating back to 2015 to take a close look at the International Classification of Diseases codes that were assigned by the CDC. And it turns out CDC has been manipulating the codes to conceal the fact that COVID vaccines are a cause of death on the original death certificates. Now, death certificates list all the known and suspected causes of death that played some role in the demise of the decedent. The person who fills out the death certificate writes a text description, but the final ICD codes are determined by the CDC bureaucracy. And apparently the CDC uses algorithms to match the causes of death to corresponding ICD codes. Well, what this reporter found out is that the CDC was not assigning the correct code for vaccine death to those death certificates. And so when you're doing a computer search, they simply wouldn't show up. It would be invisible. All righty. Now, Joe Biden's administration has been hit with a federal lawsuit for unlawfully blocking the use of the antiviral drug ivermectin as a COVID treatment. And there's a group of doctors, they're suing the FDA and the Department of Health and Human Services, accusing the federal agencies of lying to the public about ivermectin. Remember when they are out there screaming, it's horse paste and you don't want to take it. You want a vaccine. You don't want a cure. You want a treatment. And the lawsuit was filed in the U.S. Southern District of Texas in Galveston. Now, the plaintiffs, Drs. Mary Talley Bowden, Paul E. Marrick, and Robert L. Apter, argue that the FDA overstepped its authority by unjustifiably interfering with their medical practice. And the doctors are contesting the FDA's portrayal of ivermectin as dangerous for human consumption, noting that the FDA has approved ivermectin for human use since 1996 for a variety of diseases. So can you say cover up? I knew you could, children here. And apparently up in Canada, they're looking at a bill, 278, that would basically repeal Trudeau's COVID vaccination mandates for employment and travel. We have to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And welcome back to our show here. Now, as you're well aware, we had a recent Supreme Court decision that said race could not be considered in the application process for universities. We're going back to a strict meritocracy. But there's already a little bit of fallout from this decision because apparently over in the state of New York, they have state health guidelines that prioritized non-whites for oral COVID therapeutics because of the short supply. They said, we don't have enough for everybody, so we're going to start with non-whites first. So again, another case of racism. And so there was a lawsuit already filed in January of last year, and now that one may get sent to the Supreme Court to overturn that. Racism is wrong no matter what direction it is pointing in. Okay, let's get into some of the international news. It's not very pleasant out there. There was an article that came on out in Global Research comparing two U.S. government catastrophes. One is George Bush's 2003 invasion of Iraq, and the second is Obama's 2014 coup d'etat in Ukraine. And in both cases, disaster resulted. We trashed Iraq, and You know, now we're trashing Ukraine, and things are just getting a lot worse over there. So, of course, we now know that the invasion of Iraq in 2003 was based on lies. Remember the weapons of mass destruction. And, of course, now they're saying, oh, there were intelligence errors, which is yet another lie here. So we had the coup in 2014 that grabbed control over Ukraine's government. They ousted the democratically elected President Yanukovych. They installed Petro Poroshenko, and he was then subsequently succeeded by Zelensky. So both of these countries were basically destroyed by Washington's power grab. And let's not forget the mess in Afghanistan, because that's going to be important. Okay, there is something brewing in Ukraine. There are concerns, very serious concerns. There is going to be a false flag involving the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power station. And Russia and Ukraine are accusing each other over this alleged plot to attack the Russian-held Zaporizhzhia nuclear power station. Now, to tell you how ridiculous this all is, the power station is in Russian-controlled territory. So we have the same people who told us Russia blew up their own pipeline and Russia blew up their own dam are now telling us that Russia's going to blow up their own nuclear power station and repeat the disaster of Chernobyl on their own territory. Russia has got nothing to gain by blowing up that power station. But as I mentioned before, Lindsey Graham is out there saying that an attack on that power station by Russia would activate Article 5, because obviously NATO countries would be contaminated by the radioactive fallout, and that would be considered an act of war. So Zelensky has been all over social media saying that Russian forces will destroy the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, and apparently the area is being evacuated. Zelensky claimed that there were objects resembling explosives on the roof of several power units of the power plant. The IAEA is saying, no, they don't see any evidence of that. So, meanwhile, a Russian nuclear official claims that Ukraine is planning an imminent attack on that nuclear plant. So everybody is pointing fingers, and if that power plant is blown up, we're going to be in World War III for real, including the potential use of nuclear weapons. What I am hoping is that if enough people speak out and say this is going to be another false flag lie, that maybe whoever's in charge of this operation will call it up and say, we can't make this work. Nobody's going to buy the official story. So anyway, meanwhile, the Western media is prepping the nuclear false flag and the possibility of thermonuclear war. And the reason they're probably doing it is the Zelensky's month-old counteroffensive is failing miserably. In fact, Russia has managed to turn the tables to gain even more territory in eastern Ukraine. And this whole thing is becoming a fiasco for the NATO-backed regime in Kiev. Now, Kiev's commander-in-chief, General Zaluzhny, admits Ukraine has lost. He's saying the counteroffensive is essentially over, even before it really got started. And the general says Ukraine has got no chances now and knows that NATO can never supply Ukraine with whatever it is that Zelensky wants, okay? And so what he's saying in reality is Ukraine has lost. It is that simple. And, you know, some of these NATO weapons have not performed as expected. The Leopard tanks never even made it to the front lines. They just got destroyed. All of the Leopard sent are gone. We've got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
We are living in dangerous days.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the international news. We're talking mostly about Ukraine and Russia here. Now, next week, there is going to be this NATO summit. Starts on July 11th in Lithuania. As of right now, Ukraine has not been invited to attend the summit. There may be some side meetings and so forth, but Ukraine is not a member of NATO, and it's not surprising that it's not formally been invited to the summit. But apparently, NATO is going to be looking at how things are going in Ukraine, and frankly, considering how it's going, this has become a huge embarrassment for NATO. And what they're basically saying to Zelensky is, you'd better show some results soon, or we're just going to have to pull the plug on all of this. And so the Kiev armed forces are under intensive pressure to step up the counteroffensive ahead of the NATO summit, which for all practical purposes means a lot more of those Ukrainian soldiers are going to get themselves killed. Now, another article came on out here from Global Research, and it's saying that the way NATO and the United States have handled this was just stupid. And apparently the West just expected that it could just roll over Russia and Russia proved to be quite a bit tougher than the U.S. assumed. I remember back when the U.S. assumed that Russia's economy would tank if they had an oil price war, and it didn't work. The military planners weren't really thinking. Now, there was another drone attack against Moscow itself. Russian military said it downed 5 drones. No casualties were reported. But Russia is now saying Ukraine could not have done this without support from the United States. By providing trained drone operators and providing the necessary intelligence to find their targets here. Now, it's not clear if the U.S. and NATO are enabling drone attacks inside Russia, but there are signs that Western powers are involved in some way, okay? Following the drone attacks on Russian air bases in last December, an Asia Times report cited military sources in NATO countries who said the drones were using U.S. satellite GPS data to hit their targets. And if that is so, Russia can defeat those drones because it's actually very easy to jam a GPS signal. Now, Prigozhin has resurfaced. Everyone was wondering where he was. He was sort of invisible following the Wagner revolt here. But apparently on Monday, he released a message which defended his short-lived insurrection and called for support as the group continues to recruit troops despite Putin's ultimatum for the Wagnerites. So looks like there's still going to be some tensions over there. Now, not too long ago, Great Britain authorized the deployment of depleted uranium munitions to Ukraine to go with the Challenger tanks that they'd already provided. And now the Joe Biden administration is going along, and they're going to supply Kiev with depleted uranium rounds for the Abrams tanks it approved in January. And the UK and US governments are insisting, as they always have, depleted uranium is harmless. Well, in its metallic form, yes, kind of, sort of, maybe. But when those munitions hit a target, they vaporize. And you have all that uranium dust floating around in the air. It's got a half-life of billions of years. And if you inhale it, it gets stuck in your tissues. You can't get rid of it. And, every place depleted uranium has been used, cancer rates go up, birth defects go up. It's nasty, nasty stuff. It's basically making our nuclear waste problem somebody else's nuclear waste problem. And it really should not be allowed to be used here. Meanwhile, Biden is also going to approve cluster bombs for Ukraine, even though they are banned munitions in 120 countries. Because of the high rate of civilian deaths these weapons will cause. Now, getting back to the Nord Stream pipeline, there's an article in Political Insider saying that the Dutch warned the Central Intelligence Agency that Ukraine was planning to sabotage the Nord Stream pipeline. And, of course, when it actually happened, everybody's saying, oh, Putin blew up his own pipeline. Those crazy Russians, they do things like that here. Meanwhile, Ukrainian Defense Minister Alexei Reznikov told the Financial Times that the hostilities in Ukraine allowed Western allies to test their weapons in a direct clash with Russian ones, and they can actually see if their weapons work, how efficiently they work, and if they need to be upgraded. And the answer to that last question is probably yes, because I've mentioned before, Russia is well ahead of us in electronic warfare. Their jamming in Ukraine has been become so effective that even U.S.-made guided weapons sent to Kiev no longer hit their targets accurately. They wander off and they hit something else here. A recent analysis by the UK's Royal United Services Institute notes that while Moscow's electronic warriors could not stop the Joint Direct Attack munition, their improving jamming skills are taking a toll on the weapon's accuracy. This reportedly happens despite multiple anti-jamming upgrades on the JDAMs. Okay. According to the report, Russia's sophisticated electronic warfare systems are simply drowning out GPS guidance signals from satellites, affecting the trajectory, rented lips, of smart weapons. All righty. Now, Tobias Elwood, head of the British Parliament's Defense Committee, is saying, we're now at war in Europe. Boy, he's so eager to get going. Of course, he's not going to enlist. His family won't enlist here. Getting on down to France, it has been a very, very rough time for them. So far, we've had about 1,000 buildings burned, 5,600 vehicles destroyed, 3,300 people have been arrested. And what does the Macron government do? Well, they're going to crack down on free speech because it's all the fault of social media that these riots got going here. And estimates are now saying that the race riots in France have cost almost as much in damage as the 2020 Black Lives Matter riots cost America. You know, those mostly peaceful protests that we were seeing down there. And apparently the rioters have burned down the largest library in France. It contained millions of historically important books. So that is a tremendous, tremendous loss. All righty. A former top brass French military commander and several other senior officers have reportedly delivered an ultimatum to French President Emmanuel Macron to restore order in the country within 48 hours, or they will do it themselves. Now, they did this on July 2nd, so the 48 hours are now up, and we're going to see what's happening. Now, the riots in France supposedly have toned down. They're still ongoing, but not to the same scale. Meanwhile, Paris protests have spread to Switzerland and Belgium, and some regions have banned the sale of fireworks and restricted street access in a bid to curb the ongoing unrest, and they've deployed the police with some military vehicles. And there was a very disturbing video on social media the other day of some of the immigrants in this country now demanding more free stuff, saying it would be a shame if our country got Franced. So, anyway, now apparently Burundi, which is in Africa, decided to walk out of a review of its human rights record and voice concerns about a perceived slide in country's cooperation with UN bodies. Now, states' compliance with legally binding human rights treaties that guarantee important freedoms are reviewed regularly by the United Nations. But in a rare move, Burundi's 15-member delegation walked out of a UN Human Rights Committee meeting on Monday in Geneva because of the presence of what it called criminals posing as civil society members. Now, this follows Nicaragua's refusal to participate in a torture review and Russia's absence from two reviews last year, amounting to what UN Human Rights Chief Volker Turk described in June as a significant lack of cooperation with the human rights system. Over in Israel, there has been a major escalation in the violence against Palestinians in the West Bank, and a joint statement by 12 American Jewish groups on Monday puts the blame on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for the escalation in violent attacks by Israeli settlers on Palestinians. And as leaders of the American Jewish community, we cannot and will not stand idly by. And this was signed by groups including the Union for Reform Judaism, the New Israel Fund, J Street, and the National Council for Jewish Women. Now, Israeli settler gangs on Sunday morning burned crops in the Palestinian town of Turmusea and north of Ramallah, just days after the village was subject to a rampage that left at least 30 houses and 70 vehicles on fire. And here is the irony. Okay, that village, okay, is 90% American citizens, you know, Palestinians who went to the U.S., became citizens legally, went back to Israel, but they're still American citizens. And what is our government doing about protecting American citizens who are under these attacks? Not a whole heck of a lot, apparently. And Gideon Levy is saying the Palestinians are literally prohibited from defending their families from violent aggression. Because every time we hear about these settler incursions, they're always accompanied by the Israeli defense forces who are basically going to make sure that nobody opposes what the settlers are doing. Meanwhile, Moroccan activists call on the government to cut ties with Israel over the attack on Jenin. That's been a major focus of these attacks. It was a lot of shelling, a lot of killing, blocking of roads so that ambulances couldn't get in. And, of course, Israel is calling it a counterterrorism effort. Now, China has just run a simulation of a total war scenario at sea with the United States, an exercise that highlighted the People's Liberation Army's Navy's formidable challenges in a potential high-intensity conflict with an advanced, determined, and highly capable adversary. And so they basically ran this total war scenario and used it to evaluate the performance of two new weapons systems. And the report mentions the researchers assumed that the Chinese military was under all-out attack by a hypothetical blue alliance with Arleigh Burke-class destroyers. Okay, so let's talk about the economy now. There was a poll run by the University of Chicago, and it basically said 75% of Americans say they felt they had either achieved the American dream or on their way to achieving it. However, 24% said they feel the dream is out of their reach and America is no longer the land of opportunity. So that's an increase over last year's poll where only 18% felt that the American dream was now out of their reach. And the survey also reveals clear differences in outlook along generational lines. Of those who only have a high school diploma, 31% say the dream is out of their reach. Only 16% of those with a college degree say the same. The American dream is most commonly understood to refer to economic success and personal freedom. Mostly, it centers on the idea of home ownership and owning your own home. Except you don't really, because you have to pay property taxes, which is a form of rent. And, of course, it takes a long time to pay off that mortgage. Okay, so apparently doubt in the American dream has begun to creep in. And George Carlin kind of forecast that. He said in one of his routines, it's called the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it. And I definitely agree on that. Iran is now joining the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. They did that just yesterday. A move that will see the country further strengthen its trade ties with China, Russia, India, and other Asian states. Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi told a meeting of the group that he hoped his country's entry would provide a platform for collective security. He also came on out saying that the Shanghai Cooperation Organization should abandon the U.S. dollar because it's an instrument of hegemony. And he's right about that. The U.S. has weaponized the dollar and the SWIFT financial transfer system to enforce its policies on other countries. Now, China and Honduras have started talks over a free trade pact. That happened on Monday. And it's the latest advance between the two nations in their recent diplomatic and economic opening. So they're going to be doing a little bit of business. They're not going through the U.S. dollar. And I can imagine the United States should be, if they aren't already, concerned about this turning away from the dollar. Because being a country that doesn't really manufacture the way we did before, we rely on foreign demand for the dollar to keep the demand of that dollar up, you know, by making the dollar the oil currency of choice and so forth and so on. But, you know, we now countries are paying for oil in the yuan. So, let's see. Two countries are now starting to restrict exports of their mineral wealth. China is restricting the export of two minerals critical to the production of electric vehicles, solar panels, and military hardware. Indonesia is under fire at the World Trade Organization for basically, you know, banning mineral or exports, Jakarta insists it's just and necessary to maximize its economic and industrial growth. They need those minerals for their own use, not to be sent off to other countries. Okay, getting into immigration and the border. Illegal aliens are panicking over a new immigration law in Florida. Some are planning to actually leave the United States because of the new restrictions by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. Well, good. Let's find a way to incentivize them to go back home, and we'll solve the problem that way. Apparently, the Texas Department of Safety agents discovered that fake FedEx vans were being used to smuggle migrants past the border checkpoints. We've got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about immigration. And Ron DeSantis has unveiled his immigration plan that he's campaigning on. And, of course, everybody's trying to figure out, is it better than Trump's? But DeSantis is emphasizing immigration in the presidential race. He's got to do more to prove he's the staunchest immigration patriot in the field. Now, we know that Donald Trump wanted to deal with illegal immigration. He was stopped by the system, if you will. So DeSantis' plan is to build the wall or finish the wall and expand E-Verify, end catch and release and defund sanctuary cities, deport criminal aliens and visa overstays, end tax remittances from illegal aliens, defund NGOs involved in aiding illegals. Everything that these people are doing is a violation to Title VIII. Punish countries that refuse to take back deported aliens. Restore remain in Mexico to keep out dubious asylum seekers. Declare the cartels as transnational criminal organizations. Authorize lethal force to be used against them when necessary. And militarize and defend the border and send the military across the border if Mexico refuses to help in stopping the cartels. Now, he's also going to push to end birthright citizenship. But as I mentioned before, okay, and if somebody can, you know, update me on this and correct me on this, but as I understand it, there is no actual law authorizing citizenship to children born in the United States of foreign parents. The idea was written by a Supreme Court justice in some notes, not actually attached to a case, the liberals picked up on it and said, that's a great idea. And they're sort of treating it like it's the law of the land. And it isn't. It absolutely is not. All right, getting into other news, a white hat hacker has used his skills for good by taking down the world's biggest online pedophile ring and contributing to the imprisonment of a serial child sexual abuser. Well, that sounds like something really good to do. Getting on to ClimateGate, it's really getting on out there. A White House report confirms the U.S. is researching solar radiation modification or sunblocking. Sounds like something out of a science fiction movie like The Matrix. But apparently the idea is to cool the Earth by reflecting sunlight back into space. And what's really interesting is they've just admitted that the sun is the primary driver of climate here on Earth. And considering how well they managed COVID, I would really rather prefer they not mess with the sky, to be very, very honest about that. All right. Now, Republicans are looking at a legislation called the Real Emergencies Act, would keep Biden from implementing emergency powers over the Democrats' perceived climate catastrophe, giving it a national emergency status while ignoring issues affecting Americans that could become actual emergencies like inflation and energy costs. Okay? And, yeah, they're going ballistic about the climate because they can't fix any of those other problems. All right. Got to take a break for station identification. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.